a week ago, and we're planning meetings in the month of May for a week on the 1859 revival, and we're looking to Dr. Barnes for a lot of help in that. He will be bringing along for us for the week an exhibition with pictures and so on, information, so that each night when we come you can have a look at that during the week of meetings. And various men, Lord willing, will be speaking on different subjects to do with revival. And the revival did come to the town of Newton Ards, and many were brought into the kingdom of God. And so we'll say more about that as it comes nearer the month of May, and we're looking forward to that week. We'll give you the dates and so on. I think it's the second full week, actually, of that month. So we'll tell you more about that as the time comes. John 14 and verse 6 is our obvious I am. It is one of these great statements. And the Lord said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Could we bow just please in a short word of prayer? Father in heaven, as we come to consider this great statement, this dramatic statement, Lord, and we have to say this divisive statement that causes so much conflict even as we read it, Lord, we do pray that thou would show us the meaning, show us Christ. Thank thee that Jesus Christ is the way. May we always defend that way and speak up for Christ, for it's in his name we'd ask it. Amen. We're coming to this text, but before I do, I was reading recently about a certain film star, if her name I pronounce it right, Michelle Geller, star of a show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Scooby-Doo movies. But this is what she said as reported in the newspaper. I consider myself to be a very spiritual person. I believe in the idea of a God, although it's my own personal idea. I find most religions interesting, and have been to every kind of denomination, Catholic, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, and I've taken bits from everything and customized it. In other words, she's made up her own religion. During the American primaries, some time ago, there was a preacher known as Dr. James Kennedy, actually died not so long ago from, I think, down in Florida. And during the primaries on the Republican side, questions were allowed to be asked. He was meeting groups of ministers, the different candidates. And this minister, Dr. James Kennedy, asked one of the candidates, Sir, if you should go to the gates of heaven, and at the gates of heaven you should be asked, what right do you have to come into God's heaven, what would you say? One of the candidates said this, Well, I haven't been all that I should be. But I'll tell them that if they let anybody in, they ought to let me in. That was a strange answer, wasn't it? If they let anybody in, they ought to let me in too. I remember Let's Talk some months ago. The five of the politicians here from Northern Ireland, others were on it, and the question was asked, would they be in heaven? I remember one politician saying, she was a devout Roman Catholic and went regularly to church, but she said, I'm not sure, I hope so. I hope so. One other one, and I'll stay enough on stories. There's a very well-known news commentator in America called Bill O'Reilly. Very interesting character, very conservative. But on one of his programs, the O'Reilly Factor, he told a joke about the Southern Baptists in America. They're quite a large denomination. And he said St. Peter was leading a group of new arrivals into heaven, and he stopped and said, Shh. And they're going by a large building. And they said, what are you going for? He says, well, there's Southern Baptists in there, and they think they're the only ones in heaven. But then he went on, and this is the point. He went on to say this, it's a funny joke, but I find that any remark I make about religion is likely to make some of my viewers steaming mad. And the fundamentalists really hate it when I say something like this. But the most important thing I can say about religion, it's a good thing for everybody to have. And it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. That's the point I'm making. Now, all those statements are reflecting a view that as long as you believe in something, you're all right. As long as you have some type of religion, we'll all make it in the end. It doesn't matter what road you're on, even if you make it up yourself from a bit of this religion, a bit of that religion, a bit of the other, and make up your own religion, we're all going to get there in the end of the day. But in this statement, the Lord Jesus Christ shatters that, and he says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now think of the context. The context. Each one, we've looked at the context in which our Savior said the words. And when you go back to John 13, you find the context. He's telling his disciples that he's going to go away. He tells them that in verse 33. I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you. He had told them he was going to go to Calvary. Well, he said Jerusalem to be slain. He said, I'm going to leave you. And of course, in verse 36 of chapter 13, Peter says, Where are you going? Where are you going, Lord? You know, Peter's always the one who asks the question. That's why somebody said he had a foot-shaped mouth. He was always putting his foot in it. That's just Peter's character. He's the one who speaks up. Lord, where are you going to go to? Lord said, Peter, you can't follow me now. Of course, Peter, as usual, is brash and bold and said, oh, I will. Even if it means death, I will follow where you're going. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And then we come into what's chapter 14. But remember, the Bible wasn't written in chapters. That's there to help us find the place. So it's right after. And the Lord tells them in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Literally it means, look, stop. Stop being worried. Because they're confused. They're sad. They're brokenhearted. They can't understand what this is all about. They were looking for a Messiah who would set up a great political kingdom. And yet he's told them he's going away. He's told them he's going to die. And they can't understand, what is this all about? And the Lord said, look, don't be afraid. Stop worrying. And you have the great verses of comfort. I go to prepare a place for you. And isn't it wonderful? He calls it the Father's house. Oh, I know heaven is called paradise for its beauty. It's called a city, probably a security in the great number there. It's called a country. But here it is, the Father's house. Home, if you like. It's good to be in your own home. If in your own home you kick your shoes off and put your feet up, I don't know, but you're at home. Don't we know all that that means? You're at home. It's where you belong. Not a wonderful title for heaven. Christ said, I'm preparing a place for you in the Father's house. What a comfort that was to them. But then Thomas is a bit worried. And he said, Lord, how will we ever find a way to get there? That's what he means. How will we ever be able to get there? Verse 5. We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Saying, Lord, how will we ever get to the Father's house? You know, if you go from here to some place, you say to yourself, well, if I don't have a map, I might get lost. How will we ever get there? How will we ever get there? How do we know the way? How will we get to heaven? What's the way to heaven? Reminded of the new preacher, and it wasn't me, by the way, who came to a town to be the new pastor in the church. And the first day his wife sent him out to post a letter. And he was walking round the town and he asked a young man, could you tell me where the post office is? Because I'm new here and would you tell me I need to post a letter? And the young lad said, well, you go down here, turn to the left, then go on down straight, you'll find the post office. He said, oh, thank you very much, I'm new and I don't know the way around. He said, oh, by the way, I'm the new minister in the town. And would you like to come and hear me preach? On Sunday night I'm going to preach how to get to heaven. The young lad said, no thank you, you can't even find your way to the post office. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Thomas is asking, Lord, how will we know the way? We mightn't find the way. Will we be able to find it? Will we get lost? Will we? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. It's emphatic. It means I myself am the way. He is the way. Not that he points the way or shows the way or tells the way. He says, I am the way. How can a person get to heaven? How can they be sure they're going to heaven? And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks in definite terms. I am the way. And he speaks in definite terms of a place, heaven. He says, I go to prepare a place. The idea is a tangible place. He didn't say, I go to prepare an illusion. Or I go to prepare some type of speculation. He said, I go to prepare a place. And I believe there's an innate belief in every human being that there is an afterlife. That there is somewhere. Now, of course, the views on that are all skewed, of course, from the biblical view. But there is something within man that looks for it. I know some try and deny it. But really, in the heart of man, they know there's something. God has placed eternity in people's hearts. How can we know the way? And Christ gave what I suppose could be called the mother of all politically incorrect statements. Because if this is true, and of course we believe it is, then those who say, well, I'll go this way or that way, or my own religion, and all religions are as good as another, and as long as you're religious, you're okay, then those are wrong. I remember meeting one of the Hare Krishna people in Banbridge many years ago, and was coming from the college. I stopped in the town and we were speaking, and I began to come up to you about peace and talk to you. And I remember saying, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his way. Oh, we believe in him too. There's Moses, there's Muhammad, there's so on and so on, and they're all great prophets. I said, oh, no. That's not logical. He said, what do you mean it's not logical? You can't tell me. I said, no, I'm not trying to be offensive, but it's not logical. You see, Muhammad and all these others, they never claimed to be the way. Christ said, I am the way, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Either he's right and all you're wrong and the others, they're not the way. Or else he's wrong, which I don't believe for a moment. Can you see the logic of that? Christ said he was the only way. So you can't put Christ alongside all the other religions. He said he was the one and only way. You see, in today's society, you know as well as I do that there's a false tolerance. People talk about be tolerant. In other words, they can tolerate any view except that says this is absolutely true. You see, the word tolerance has been changed. I believe by the way we say of Christians ought to be tolerant. Of course we ought. We ought to be tolerant. See, tolerant when I was growing up meant that what you said to someone was, I may disagree with you, I may feel you're wrong, but I respect your right to hold your view. And I believe that. But today, what it means is, if you stand and say, Jesus Christ is the only way, you're called intolerant, narrow, bigoted, a fanatic. You see, the word tolerance has been changed. You see, truth is narrow. You know, when you go to do your sums, 2 and 2 equals 2. And no matter how much a young primary school child, if they wrote down 5, they'd never make it 5. Because 2 and 2 is 4. Truth is narrow. And the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, look at it very quickly then. I am the way. That's so people can be saved. Christ is the way to be saved. He spans the vast distance between a holy God and a sinner. He's the ladder. He's the bridge across the gulf, as it were, of separation. You see, there's a separation between us and God. The separation of the gulf of sin. And the only one who can bridge that gulf is the Lord Jesus Christ. No religion can. No church can. No ritual can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ alone can bridge that gulf. He is the way. He's the way. Not just a way or a good way or the best way. The only way. The only way. You picture someone in a burning building. There's no way out and the ladder goes up. And the only way of escape is to get on that ladder. Jesus Christ is the only way of escape, the only way to deliverance, the only way to heaven. Because he came from heaven, he came down to earth to be, as is illustrated in the ladder that Jacob saw, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the way whereby we can be saved. I'm told in Hampton Court, Henry VIII built that. You know, it's a site just outside London, one of the royal grounds, you could say, Hampton Court, that there's a famous maze. You know, some of these mazes where the hedges grow and you go in them. They say that during the day when it's open, there are various officials, park officials, I suppose you'd call them, and they are located in it. In the centre of the maze, there's a seat. And sometimes people go round and round and round, and sometimes they get lost. And so these attendants are there in the centre and in other places. And so when someone admits they're lost, they keep trying to go round the different, you know what a maze is like, the different side. And they keep going round and I'm lost. And then they go to one of the attendants. Excuse me, I'm lost. Can't get out. Can't get out. And then that attendant comes alongside them and says, here, just come with me. And they know, of course, when to turn right or left or whatever. And they take them. They're the way. They are the way. That's what we're talking about here. They are the way. It's not, you see, the verse is not saying that Christ points the way. That Christ is a great teacher and says, here, I'm teaching you, if you follow these principles, if you follow these rules, if you do this and do that. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I in myself am the way. Remember the story of a pioneer missionary going through a part of the jungle where he wanted to reach a savage tribe of Indians where a white man had never been before. And finally he discovered that someone who had lived in that part of the jungle had come out and lived in a more civilized part, and he agreed to take the missionary. And they're going deeper and deeper into the jungle, and the missionary was beginning to get worried. He said, are you sure you know the way? Are you sure you know the way? He said, don't worry, white man. But are you sure? He said, look, did you notice on the trees there were certain marks? Oh, I did. I noticed it in a few of them. I made those marks. I made those marks in the trees. You see, I used to live in there and I came out. And I put those marks on the tree. Before I came, there was no way. And I have scars on my body where I made it through the jungle to make those marks. And I'm leading you, just be with me, I'll follow you. You see, before I came, there was no way. White man, I am the way. And Jesus Christ is the way whereby we can be saved. But then he says, I am the truth. We can be sure. We can be sure about it. He didn't say, I speak the truth, though he did. Never man spake like this man. You know, think of this, isn't this amazing? Christ in his life never had to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Or, oh, I just need to correct that. I didn't maybe give a wrong meaning there. And he certainly never told a lie. He always spoke the truth. Always. But it's more than that. He is the truth. You see, this scripture is the word of truth. The Spirit of God is called the Spirit of truth. And as we thought this morning, we need that miracle of a change when we're saved. A new nature. That's why the Lord said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. But you grow as a Christian as you get into this Bible. And the Spirit of truth shows you the word of truth. And shows you Christ. He is the truth. And that's why the Lord could say to the Pharisees when they're battling with him in chapter 5, the scripture, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Testify of me. You see, Muhammad, he told his followers, I'm just a man like you. Here's certain teachings he claimed were from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am. I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way that we might be saved. I am the truth that you might be sure. I am the life that we might be satisfied. Didn't I point out in one of the others, the bread of life? That this is more than existence. There was a time when you and I were not. There never will be a time when we'll cease to be. But it means a quality of life. John, the writer of the book of John, of course, obviously, he used this term over 50 times. And he means a quality of life. In other words, the gospel, Christianity, is not simply following a set of rules. See, often people look at it, well, I'll look at this religion's rules and this religion's rules. No. Christianity, it's more than a set of rules. It's knowing Christ. It's having Him. He is the life. He is the life. And of course, when you have Him, then you have a purpose for which to live. There's many people in this world have no purpose in life. They drift along. They go to bed, they get up in the morning, they go about their daily routine, they go up and through. Sometimes, if you're ever in a plane and look down the city and see all the cars, you begin to wonder if many are like that. Just going here, there, no purpose in life, no aim, just going through the same routine, drudgery, not thinking, just blindly going on, blind leading the blind, no purpose in life. And then there are others, and they've got the wrong purpose. They're looking for the wrong things in life. I'm talking now about our existence. They're looking for the wrong things. Success, fame, just for the sake of it. And they find out it's nothing. But thank God there are those who have real purpose that know Christ. He gives life. He gives perspective. He gives meaning. He shows us the eternal. Shows us the spiritual. Like Moses, we choose the spiritual. I was thinking of this and remember quite a number of years ago reading of a lady, you may never heard of her, Colleen Townsend. Colleen Townsend. She had her picture on the front page of a magazine, used to be popular in America, Life, weekly sort of newspaper magazine thing. What was significant about Colleen Townsend is that she and someone you may have heard of, Marilyn Monroe, they signed to become actresses at the same time. They knew each other and they signed up to act with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, MGM, at the same time. And they did act in a few films together. And that's why her picture was on a magazine. Now, what happened was this to Colleen. In the late 50s, she came to know Christ as her Saviour. She left Hollywood and she went into a Bible college, a seminary, where she studied. And she married a man in the college who became a minister. She was the wife of the minister of Hollywood Presbyterian Church, right in Hollywood. He later went on somewhere else to be a minister. She became a leading worker with what was known actually in the 1950s. It was middle 1950s, so death. But in the late 1950s, she was working for a movement known as Youth for Christ. She wrote quite a few books in her own name about it. She wrote books about various Christian subjects. But here's the point about Colleen Townsend. She signed up at the same time as Marilyn Monroe. And in one of her books, she says this. That one day she met up with Marilyn Monroe. They'd been good friends, starting in films together. And this is what she wrote. She said, Marilyn said to her, you know, when we signed our contracts, I determined to be a star no matter what. No matter what I had to do or how much it would cost me, I was going to be a star. And I've had my dream fulfilled. But I have paid far too much for what I have gotten. I'm miserable and unhappy. And a few months later, as most of you know, Marilyn Monroe took her own life. One attained great fame in life. The other obtained real life. The other obtained real life. Jesus Christ is the way so that we can be saved. He's the truth so that we can be sure. He's the life so that we can be satisfied. You see, the point we're making is Jesus Christ said, I am. You see, all other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you the way to go. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Other religious leaders may claim, now if you follow me, I'll show you some truths. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Other religious leaders may say, follow me and I'll show you rules on how to live a life meaningful. Jesus Christ said, I am the life. But there's a question. How does it become the way, the truth, and the life? And you know what the answer quite clearly is? Because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. Don't miss that. Yes, he is the way because of who he is and because of what he has done. You see, at the cross, he opened the way. Because of what he did suffering in that middle tree, he showed the truth of who he is and what he had done. Rose again. Confirmed his work was finished. Because of what he did on Calvary, we can receive him as our eternal life. And it's brought out in an interesting way in the book of John. And so I need you just to look at these verses as we seek to come to a close. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, there's a little phrase in the book of John that occurs three times. Three times. Now, turn over to John 12. And you'll see that this little phrase talks about the cross. Turn over to John 12 a moment. And we're looking at verse 32. But first of all, before we look at that verse, in John chapter 12, go down to the end of verse 35. And he's speaking to the whole crowd of people. He said, he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. In other words, he's saying to them, look, you'll not know where you're going. If you reject me, you'll not know where you are. You'll be walking in darkness. Now go back to verse 32. This is what he said. Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that's Calvary, will draw all men unto me. The end of verse 34. The Son of Man must be lifted up. That's speaking of the cross. And that's the little expression that occurs in three different places. In John 12, he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up to be the way. To be the way. And if you don't come to him and trust in his work on Calvary, you'll not know whither you go. You'll not know where you're going. You'll not know the way. This expression, three different places, he's the way. Go back to chapter 8 a moment. This is another place where that same expression occurs. And this one's very interesting too. Because in verse 32, he's speaking about the truth. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. He's talking all about truth. How you'll know. How you'll be sure. That's what the whole context of these verses is. That how you can be sure. You see, the religious leaders were saying, you're not who you claim to be. He said, this is the truth. Now, look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he. He's the truth. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the truth. Lifted up. That's speaking of the cross. You see, at cross, Christ was lifted up from the earth, between heaven and the earth. He who is the way to heaven was lifted up on that tree between heaven and earth. You probably know the third one I'm going to mention, John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. We referred to Nicodemus this morning. Nicodemus, a man who was very religious, but yet he knew he didn't have eternal life. And the Lord tells him, you must be born again. You need spiritual life. That's what he's saying. You need spiritual life. Go down to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So three different times the Lord spoke about being lifted up. been lifted up. And what I'm saying is, you read the context very carefully, and you'll find in John 12, the context is, how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I'm going to be lifted up on the cross. See, Christ on Calvary, the cross, that's the way. In John 8, he's speaking about the truth. The false teachers are saying, you're not the truth. Christ said, you shall know the truth, and you will know that I am He, when the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross. See, the cross is the centre of eternity. In heaven they sing about the cross, the Lamb of God. Everyone ever born into this world will bow before Him and acknowledge He who was crucified on Calvary, acknowledge that He is the great I Am. And then in John 3, in the context of how to know your spiritual life, Son of Man must be lifted up. When Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He was stating that if you and I ever hope to be in heaven, we'll have to come to Christ. That's what the gospel is, Christ. I know we often talk about the plan of salvation, and of course we need to know how to present the gospel, but the gospel is more than a plan, it's a person. It's a person. It's coming into a personal fellowship and relationship with Christ. To know Him is to have the way. He becomes the way. To know Him, He's the truth. To know Him, He's the life. Just comes to mind as I'm speaking that my only two grandsons are here tonight, of granddaughters. And when their, think of this carefully, when their great granny was buried, I spoke at their great grandmother's funeral. That's on my daughter-in-law's side, the great granny, McElrath. And I'll never forget, because they live away up in the hills outside Ocker and Clocker. And I remember down at the graveyard speaking and saying that when I came to that part round Clocker Valley, there's no use telling me go up this wee lane and that wee lane and round that wee road, and you know what wee country lanes are like. But one day there was an elder says, look, I'll meet you in Clocker and you get into the car beside me. And they took me up to McElrath's. I remember saying at the funeral that day, and there was a great crowd there, it's not that Jesus Christ points the way, but just as that elder became the way for me to go, I just got into the car and He was the way. Jesus Christ is the way. Is the way. I know you meet people and they tell you, well, I'm in the Jesus way. I'm trying to do the best I can, trying to follow it. No, no, no. He's the way. Do you know Him? That's the important thing. To know the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God Jesus Christ says, come. Come unto Me. And tonight we can urge all people. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, we can say to you, come. Just as you are. Come to Him as the way. Come to Him and receive life. I pray you'll do so for His glory. Let's turn in our hymn book, please.